Hello everyone, welcome to my talk, Hardware-Based and CPU and Routing on the Chip. I'm Zitai Chen, and I'll introduce our $30 tool, which can do CPU and routing, and also some exploits we found using it. Before we talk about and routing, let's talk about TEEs. TEEs stands for Trusted Execution Environment. Most manufacturers have their own version of TEE. For example, ARM has Trustzone, Intel has SGX, AMD and IBM also have similar technology. It guarantees code and data loaded into them to be protected with respect to confidentiality and integrity. And you may wonder what's the threat model of this TEEs, and here shows some screenshots of companies and projects that use TEEs. So on the top is the Fortinet project. It says Intel SGX allow you to run application on untrusted infrastructure without having to trust the infrastructure provider. And also on the left is an open source project that use SGX. They consider their project can operate under the threat model that they don't trust the host owner. And as is shown here, the widely adopted threat model consider OS, owner, and infrastructure as untrusted. A blog post from Intel's website also says SGX should protect the code and data inside it from attacker who has physical control of the platform. However, in previous years, researchers were able to break the integrity provided by ARM TEE, which is a trustzone. In ARM, there is a feature called DVFS, Dynamic Voltage and Frequency Scaling. Attacker can control DVFS by writing to a set of memory mapped registers. And DVFS will either change the clock frequency or tell the power management IC to change the voltage. Using this feature, attackers were able to inject fault into code running inside trustzone. So clock screw use DVFS to change the clock frequency and to cause a calculation error. And what jockey use this system to change the voltage of the ARM processor and cause fault. As ARM have this system, you may wonder if Intel have a similar feature which allow user to change the CPU voltage, and then maybe attacker can inject fault into Intel TEE, which is SGX. Actually, yes. So in previous years, the plant vault attack discovered that on Intel processors, there is a MSR 150. Which can be used to change the CPU voltage. And they are able to cause memory corruption and also fault in multiplication and encryption computation inside SGX. Regarding plant vault, Intel published security advisory, and they suggest user to update to the latest BIOS version. We applied this BIOS update on our Nuke, and we found that there is a new BIOS option shows up, which is real-time performance tuning. And also on the notice, it says when disabled, this is a more secure configuration. We found that this option allows user to enable or disable MSR for voltage changing. And this is a mitigation for plant vault, because after this is disabled, the software cannot control the CPU voltage anymore. And also some manufacturers simply disable this interface without giving any option in BIOS. So basically on this diagram, this interface is disabled. The voltage regulator cannot be controlled directly by software anymore. However, there is a still physical connection between CPU package and the voltage regulator. If we can control this interface, we can directly talk to the voltage regulator and change the voltage. So we start to look into this interface. First thing we looked into is the Intel CPU datasheet. We found that this interface is called SVID bus, and it's a three-wire interface which has clock, data, and alert. And alert is not required in the actual implementation. And the clock frequency is 25 MHz. The operation voltage of it is between 0 volt and 1 volt. However, we didn't find further information regarding to this SVID bus on Intel datasheet. But this information are enough for us to identify what the SVID signals look like. And then we are able to recover the protocol of it. The first thing we need to do in order to inject packet to SVID bus is to find where it is. So we firstly find the voltage regulator on the motherboard, because this SVID interface connects the voltage regulator and the CPU. So after finding the voltage regulator, maybe with the datasheet of it, we can find the pins for this SVID bus. So as it's shown here, the chip is usually next to large capacitors around the CPU. Then we start to search the datasheet of it on the internet according to the part number. But the only information we can find is the data short on its official website. At first, we thought it's a typo, but after opening it, we know why it's called data short. It's only one A4 page long and gives no information about this interface. So the only option left to us in order to locate this bus is to do some probing and found signals that are similar to the spec we found on the datasheet. So we pick up a oscilloscope to check all the resistors around this voltage regulator, like this, because we know there would be some pull-up resistors connecting to this bus. So after some probing, this signal shows up on the screen. It's a 25 MHz clock, and also it has data line. They operate between 0 and 1 volt, which matched exactly to the spec we know for SVID bus. Here is the two points we found. Actually, there are two test points left by the motherboard manufacturer for these two wires. So after finding where this interface is on the motherboard, we also need to know the command and packet structure in order to control it. We searched online for this protocol and found a screenshot of a protocol analyzer. So we were able to discover the packet structure of the SVID signal from this screenshot. We also found that there is a field called VID code in the set VID packet. So the voltage is the value for voltage is not directly encoded in this packet. So each VID code will map to a specific voltage value. In order to change the voltage to the expected value, we also need to reverse engineering this voltage identifier. So we first use the software and the voltage method to change the voltage and capture the signal on SVID bus using oscilloscope. Mainly, we want to have this set VID packets and get the VID value out of it. So we send the set VID command with the VID code we get from the oscilloscope capture, and also use the oscilloscope to measure the CPU voltage. So if the packet is constructed correctly, we should say the voltage changed to the corresponding value. In this way, we are able to reverse engineer the VID mapping and verify it. Here shows the complete SVID protocol as far as we know. On the left shows the SVID signal and data frame. It has a few bits indicating the start and the end of the frame, and there are 4 bits indicating the address, 5 bits for commands, and 4 bits for VID and party bits. On the right shows how VID is calculated and some VID commands we discovered. The most useful command for this project is this one, setVIDFast, which is exactly the command we use to change the CPU voltage. So then we start our journey with this SVID bus. Firstly, we solder two very thin wires out of this interface. It may be hard to see on the picture, but actually they are very two thin wires connect to a bus driver. And then we also use the TinZ 4.0 to send the command via the bus driver. You may wonder why we need the bus driver, because actually this is because the SVID bus operates under 1 watt logic, but the microcontroller we use can only output signal in 3.3 logic level. So we also built multiplexer firmware for TinZ with a modified SPI driver. In order to control the timing of the voltage change, we implement the trigger functionality using GPIO pins and USB serial connection. After receiving the trigger signal, TinZ will inject SVID packets to change the voltage. It's also worth mentioning that our tool can be built with only $30. So with voltmeter, we can change the voltage for 3 times. Because the changing rate of the voltage is fixed, we can firstly lower the voltage to prepare for the glitch, and then further lower the voltage to inject a fault. This can make the glitch and the fault voltage shorter. And after reaching the fault voltage for a while, we can change the voltage back to normal. The figure on the right shows the oscilloscope capture of the glitch injected by voltmeter. As you can see, after we send the setVID packet, the voltage drop, and then we change the voltage back, the voltage is changing back. So let's inject some fault. We created the library for undervolting. So here, the configure glitch with delay function will send configuration to the voltmeter and arm the trigger. Then trigger set will send the trigger to activate the glitch, and a trigger reset will reset the glitch. We tested all the proof of concepts of Blunderwall, and we found that we can reproduce all of them. Furthermore, we are able to fault MBD TLS AESNI and OpenCLIO file encryptor. We also found a new type of fault, which is delayed write fault. Let's begin with multiplication fault. So here is our proof concept. On the top of the screen, it shows voltage, trigger, SVID data, and clock signal. And we are running multiplication while changing the voltage. After a few attempts, a fault happens. And as you can see here is a voltage drop that caused the fault. We also did some benchmarking with this simple multiplication fault. Since if we lower the voltage too much, the OS will just crash before it observes a fault, it is important to know the range of voltage we can use. Luckily, with the experiment, we found that there are usually 4 VID steps between the first fault and the crash voltage. We also measured the accuracy of voltmeter and found that about 75 of the faults can fall into 600 iterations of multiply calculation. After having success fault in multiplication, we start to fault encryption operation. We tested it with SGX CRT RSA proof of concept of Blunderwall, And we are able to cause computation error and recover the private key from the faulty signature. We are also able to fault SGX-ASLI proof concept and OpenEncrypt file encryptor, which use ASLI instructions, and recover the key using differential fault analysis. Here is our demo on OpenEncrypt file encryptor. We run the encryption operation for several times while doing voltage gating. And after a few attempts, we successfully injected a fault. Then the result can be analyzed using differential fault analysis to recover the key. As said earlier, another new type of fault we found with VoltPager is a delayed write fault. Let's have a look at this code. So we firstly set operand 1 and 2 to have the same value, and then we keep increasing both of them and check if they are still having the same value in a tight loop. If the calculation is correct, this line of code should never get executed. However, with fault injection, we found that sometimes this variable named 40 is set to 1. To investigate more, we looked into the disassembly of the code, and we conclude that this is because one of these two add operation were not committed when compile happens. So when the execution reaches the compile operation, they are actually holding the different value. This is a new type of fault observed using VoltPager. We did further investigation with software and Volting, and found that this fault can cause out of bound underflow and overflow of the array. This video shows the out of bound underflow and overflow. This is the target code that we want to inject fault. So normally this code should only write to element 1, 2, 3, 4 in the array. However, as we lower the voltage, element at index 0 was overwritten. And here shows that we can also cause array overflow. Element at 5, 6, 7, 8 were overwritten. After found this vulnerability, we reported it to Intel on 13th March 2020. And here are Intel's reply. They consider opening the case and tampering of internal hardware is out of SGX threat model. However, as we talked earlier, the threat model of TE clearly said it should protect against attacker who has control of the platform, such as infrastructure providers. And this threat model is widely adopted in the community. So maybe we need to rethink of the threat model of SGX. Can it still protect against such attacks? In summary, VoltPager is the first hardware-based anti-vaulting against Intel CPU, and it can bypass the mitigation implemented for plugged vault. And it's a budget tool which can be built with only $30. With our findings, we should rethink of Intel SGX threat model. Can it still protect SGX from attackers who has control of the hardware? That's all for my talk. Thank you for listening. You can find more information on this website. So if you have any questions or anything you want to discuss, welcome to reach me after this talk.